The following program is paid for by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
We have to understand the quality of life that God has given us. See, it's not just I'm breathing, so that means I'm alive. The life that God has given us comes from a word, Zoe, which means life as God has it. That's the kind of life that's in you. When you're born again, you receive the God kind of life. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. 1 Thessalonians 5, 23. And may the God of peace himself sanctify you through and through, that is, separate you from profane things, make you pure and holy, consecrated to God. Everybody say, holy.
Holy.
Now that's not H-O-L-Y, it's W-H-O-L-L-Y. Make you holy, consecrated to God, and may your spirit and your soul and your body, your spirit, your soul, and your body be preserved, sound and complete, and found blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Now, you are a spirit, you have a soul, you live in a body. Like one of the functions of your spirit is your conscience. Your spirit is where you receive revelation. It's where you hear from God. Your soul is your mind, your will, your emotions, all very important parts of our being. And then there's your body, the house that you walk around in. And all of those are important to God. I think too often we think he's only interested in our spirit and the spiritual parts of our lives and the so-called spiritual activities that we engage in, but actually God is interested in and concerned about every area of your life. There's nothing about you that God's not interested in. I said there's nothing about you that God's not interested in. He's interested in everything that concerns you, every single thing. And he wants all of you, every bit of you, to be whole and healthy. Because really, to be honest, we can have one part of us that's doing okay and two or three other areas that are all messed up and we're still not going to enjoy life. Amen? I mean, you can feel good physically, but if you're still hurting and wounded from things that happened to you in your childhood and you're angry all the time, then you still don't have much of a life. Now, we can be sound spiritually. Maybe we're born again and we're on our way to heaven. But God wants more for you than that. I'm going to say something that's kind of shocking. I don't think that Jesus came just to get us to heaven. I don't think that's all he came for. Now, I mean, that I guess is the most important part, but he wants us to enjoy the journey. He said, I came that you might have and enjoy your life and have it in abundance to the full until it overflows. Now, I was in church for a long, long time before I learned anything other than just the spiritual part of life. I learned all the church doctrine. I took instructions in the church. I was born again. I had received Christ as my Savior. I prayed for my sins to be forgiven. I knew I was going to go to heaven, but every other part of me was a mess. I looked on the outside like maybe I had it all together, but there was a lot of stuff going on inside that nobody knew about. And the sad thing, I think, was that I don't remember in those years ever hearing a message about my thoughts. I don't remember ever hearing a message about my emotions. How many of you can bear witness to that? You went to church for a long, long time, maybe, and you never heard any of the things that were going to help you in your practical everyday life. You loved God, but you didn't love your life. And I just want to be very clear tonight for those of you here and those who watch this by TV that Jesus came to make us whole, complete. He cares about every area of our body. He cares about how you think. He cares about how you talk. He cares about your finances. He cares about your social life. He wants everything in your life to be good. And I'm going to encourage you not to settle for half a package or a quarter of a package. I'm glad if you're born again and you're on your way to heaven, but I really want you to enjoy the journey. That's part of what I believe the call on my life is. Yes, I love to see people born again. We have lots of people born again, but I really like to help the Christian who is born again but is still miserable. Because it's one thing to be a miserable sinner. It's another thing entirely to be a miserable saint. Amen. So, Jesus came to make us whole. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost." And I like that it doesn't just say he came to seek and to save those who were lost, but that which was lost. Not just the lost person, but he wants to restore us to the original plan that God had for man in the garden before he got himself in trouble by doing what God told him not to do. Now, a couple of scriptures in Psalm that I love. They're both in the same chapter and they're only three verses apart, but I think they go together. Psalm 63:5, the psalmist David said, "My whole being shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips." But I want us just to focus on that first sentence. My whole being shall be satisfied. Wow. I wonder how many Christians can say that. My whole being is satisfied. I'm satisfied, content. But if you look at three verses down at Psalm 63:8, he says, "My whole being follows hard after you." So you see, I think that if we want our whole being to be fully satisfied, then our whole being has to follow hard after Jesus. See, they go together. I don't mean this to sound wrong. I'm not talking about getting into works of the flesh, but I think in any area of life, what you get out of it is what you put into it. Amen. And see, it's foolish to think that you're going to have a great, intimate, close walk with God, never spend any time with him. I mean, it's just silly to think that everything is just going to work out awesome for you if the only time you ever talk to God is when you're in trouble. But see, if he's number one in your life and you're ready to dedicate all of yourself to him, which we're going to talk about here in just a minute, then you'll come to the point where you can say, my whole being is satisfied and my whole being follows hard after you. You know what? Being a Christian, I mean a really victorious Christian, is not a Sunday morning event. You know, there's no better place for us to be tonight than right here. I mean, I just love the atmosphere when we get together, the praise, the worship. I mean, you got entertainment right here. You know, we'll laugh, we may cry, we sang, we danced. I mean, why go out to a nightclub? And I mean, certainly there are other things to do besides just going to meetings and going to church, but, you know, I commend you for taking a Thursday night. In case you're confused, this isn't Sunday morning. This is Thursday night. And I think they told me there's between 6,000 and 7,000 people here on Thursday night. And to be honest, I don't do anything fancy. I teach the Word. And so you came because you love the Word and you love to worship. And I'm going to tell you something. That's going to bring great dividends in your life. Amen. Romans 12, 1. Paul, I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, in view of all the mercies of God, to make a decisive dedication of your bodies. I'll go slow. Presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice. All your members and faculties. Your mind, your will, your emotions, your feet, your hands, your eyes, as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God. And then he throws this in, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship. So God's saying, oh, and by the way, I'm not asking too much. This is like pretty normal Christianity 101. Dedicate your entire being to God. Sometimes in the morning when I'm walking, I get up, I spend time with God, and then I walk and I like to pray while I walk and make confess the Word and, you know, whatever else comes to mind. And sometimes I'll say, God, I dedicate myself to you today, and I kind of go through the list. I give you my mouth, I give you my mind, I give you my hands, I give you my feet, I give you my eyes. I don't want to look at anything you don't want me to look at. I don't want to say what you don't want me to say. Now, am I 100% successful all day? No. But my heart's to get there. And see, that's what God loves. He loves a person who has a heart that is passionate after him and who says, I am not going to quit and give up and just be kind of a half-baked, lukewarm Christian. I'm going to pursue you with my whole heart. And I'll tell you the truth, if Jesus came tomorrow and you had not arrived at that place of perfection, he would not be the least bit disappointed in you, because what he's pleased about is that you're pressing toward that place. Amen? And so I'm proud of you that you're here tonight, because that tells me that you are serious. Some of you took off work, you traveled. Some of you will get to be here the entire weekend. And I'll tell you, that pays great benefits. So I'm just gonna ask you, are you ready? And there's no point in saying yes if you don't mean it. Are you ready to open your entire life to Jesus? I mean, are you really ready to get in and put everything out before him and say, okay, Lord, if there's anything I'm doing that you don't like, oh yeah, we're going there. If there's anything I'm doing that you don't like, if you'll show me and help me, I'll be willing to sacrifice it to have more of you in my life. You see, God never asks us to give up anything if he doesn't intend to replace it with more of himself. Amen? And the things that we cling to are the things that make us miserable. We think it's what we need, but it's like a mirage. It's like that person out in the desert who thinks they see water, and when they get there, it's not water at all. You know, we see these things. Oh, I got to have that. I got to have that. And then we wonder why we still stay miserable. I appeal to you to make a decisive dedication. So it's a decision, it's a dedication, and bring yourself as a living sacrifice. Yes, the word sacrifice is in the Bible. As a living sacrifice. He doesn't want dead sacrifices anymore. He had those under the old covenant. Now he wants living sacrifices. People that are going to get out in the world and show people what it's really like to have an intimate relationship with God through Christ, and what it's really like to be full of the life of God. Okay, so you want to go there with me, right? All right. Now, we're going to break this up into four segments this weekend. Tonight, I'm going to talk to you about being spiritually healthy. Because if your spirit is not right, none of the rest of you is ever going to get right. And then throughout the weekend, I'm going to talk about your body. I'm not going to tell you what meeting I'm going to do these in, because if I do, you'll decide that you don't want some of them. Because I'm going to really just kind of mess around in stuff that's probably none of my business, but we're going to go there anyway, like eating and sleeping and and we're just going to cover everything this weekend, because you see, God wants us to dedicate all of it. I said he wants us to dedicate all of it. Not just some part, but all of it. So to be spiritually healthy, obviously the first thing we need is to receive Christ as our Savior. That's the beginning. And so what does it mean to be born again? Well, you're born again inside. Your spirit is made new. God comes to live in your spirit, and you become the home of God. Now that to me is just an amazing thing. And we'll talk about that a little bit more when we talk about the body. God lives in you as a believer. But I'm particularly fond of 1 John 3:9. And so we're going to share that in talking about the new birth. No one born of God, or born again, deliberately, knowingly, and habitually practices sin. Now, it doesn't say he never sins, but it says you don't habitually, knowingly, purposely live a lifestyle of sin. You can't do that anymore if you're truly born again. And if somebody says to you that they're a Christian and they're doing that, then something's wrong. Because you get a new nature. God's nature comes to dwell in you. You get a new heart. And so you just cannot keep doing all the things that everybody in the world does. Can't keep doing all kinds of ungodly things because, and it's not even because it's wrong and God doesn't want you to do it. You just can't do it because it's not your nature to keep doing it anymore. And so you can't be happy with it. Now, I'm not saying that you never sin. Of course you sin, and there may be things that are bondages in our lives that it takes us a while to get free from, and you know, we make allowances for all those things, but I'm just saying that if you're really born again, then you can't just live in sin and just be happy with it. You just can't. I mean, if you thought you were miserable in your sin before you were born again, you just get God living on the inside of you and keep it up and see how miserable you can get. Amen? He cannot continue to live that kind of life because God's nature abides in him. Now, I love the way the Amplified Bible puts this. His principle of life, the divine sperm, remains permanently within him, and he cannot practice sinning because he is born or begotten of God. Now, what's this divine sperm thing? Now, we all know that when a woman gets pregnant, the sperm of her husband is planted in her womb and she becomes pregnant with a child. Now, I'm real fond of this because this is putting it about as plain as it can be. Jesus, as far as looking at this, would be the Son of God, the divine sperm of God. When you're born again, he comes to live in you. He's planted in the womb of your spirit. And I love to say it this way. I'm not trying to be cute or weird or anything else, but I think when you're born again, you become pregnant, so to speak, with everything that God is. He's in you. Joy is in you. Peace is in you. Righteousness is in you. Holiness is in you. You are so full of good things. You are amazing. And many of you don't even know it yet. You don't even know how amazing you are. The anointing is in you. The presence of God is in you. Power is in you. I mean, you got what it takes to live an amazing life and to do amazing things. But the devil doesn't want you to know it. So see, no matter what you have, and I'm telling you, you got it. If you're born again, you got it. I got a little song that I teach people. I got it, I got it, I really, really got it, I got it, I got it. I'm not much of a singer, but there you have it. You let that jingle get in your head and you'll walk around singing that. I got it, I got it, I really, really got it. And that's better than looking for it all your life. See, that doesn't even work. I'm looking for it, I'm looking for it. I'm really, really looking for it. I'm looking for it, I'm looking for it. I mean, that just wears me out even trying to sing it. But when I say, I got it, I got it, I really, really got it. And see, you got it. God is abiding in you, and so when he comes, everything he is comes. But just like when a woman gets pregnant, she gets all excited, just like a born again, But when she's first pregnant, one of the things that people say is, well, you sure don't look pregnant. Well, that's what people say to us a lot of times when we first start serving God. Well, you don't look any different. You haven't changed. You're no different. But see, God sees the end from the beginning. And everything that he does comes as a seed. Come on. And as you water it with the word, come on, this just gets so exciting. As you water it with the word and the sun shines on you. Yeah, you got it. And then pretty soon, you know what people say? I see it. I see it. I really, really see it. And that's what we want. We don't want to just know we've got it, but nobody else believe we've got it. We want people to see God working through us. And that comes from doing just what you're doing here tonight. That comes from spending time in the Word, spending time worshiping God, spending time just in an anointed atmosphere, and trusting that God is working in you and changing you from glory to glory. Amen. Give God a big shout. Now, I think that obedience, which is what we have to talk about, right? We're going to have to go there. We can't understand this if we don't. You know, everything was good for Adam and Eve in the garden before they disobeyed God. And God's trying to get us back to where they were before everything got messed up. And God breathed into Adam the breath of life. But it was, we have to understand the quality of life that God has given us. See, it's not just a, yeah, I'm breathing, so that means I'm alive. The life that God has given us comes from a word, Zoe, which means life as God has it. That's the kind of life that's in you. When you're born again, you receive the God kind of life on the inside of you. And honey, that'll put a smile on your face. I don't care how many problems you've got if you learn to focus on the right thing. We have to understand the quality of life that God has given us. See, it's not just a, yeah, I'm breathing, so that means I'm alive. The life that God has given us comes from a word, Zoe, which means life as God has it. That's the kind of life that's in you. When you're born again, you receive the God kind of life on the inside of you. And honey, that'll put a smile on your face. I don't care how many problems you've got if you learn to focus on the right thing. And God said, if you eat of the tree that I'm telling you not to eat of, he said, you can do everything else. One thing I don't want you to do. Isn't it amazing? You can eat of every tree in the garden. Eat all you want, freely eat. Just don't touch that one. Well, you know, it's amazing the one we're not supposed to touch. The one thing we're not supposed to do. And of course, Satan lied and tempted and they gave in. And God told them, if you do what I'm telling you not to do, you shall surely die. Well, he didn't mean they were going to fall over dead and not breathe anymore. He meant that that life that was on the inside of them, that candle that was in them, was going to become dark again. And so many of us are just like, how you doing, Brother Smith? And I'm going through, just trying to make it. And I don't mean that we don't have problems, and I don't mean that we don't talk honestly about our problems, but I do believe we focus on the wrong stuff. I think we focus far too much on what we don't have and not enough on what we do have. We focus far too much on what's wrong and not enough on what is right. You know what? There's things in my life that I could do without, but you know what? I got up this morning and I could walk, talk, see, and hear. So, we need to get back to some good old-fashioned sacrificial obedience. Thank you. Thank you. And here's what I want to say about obedience before we even get started. I'm not asking you to follow a bunch of rules and regulations, not ones that the church has made for you or even ones that you make for yourself. I'm asking you tonight to make a commitment to be led and guided by the promptings of the Holy Spirit. And see, life gets exciting when you commit to follow the Holy Spirit because He will deal with each one of us a little bit differently. You know, I might have yay and so plan for my morning time with God, and yours might be totally different. See, things get boring when we lay down a bunch of rules and regulations for everybody, and everybody thinks they've got to do everything the exact same way that everybody else does it. The Holy Spirit is very creative, and He has a lot of really cool ideas. And He knows you, and He knows what will work for you, and He knows what won't work for you. But when you live under the law, you're so afraid to get outside of the prescribed lines of what anybody does that pretty soon you're just suffocated with boredom. And yes, there are a lot of Christians that are just bored. You go to church, you go home, you go to church, you go home, you go to church, you go home, you go to church, you go home. Romans chapter 7, verse 6. But now we are discharged from the law and have terminated all intercourse with it, having died to what once restrained and held us captive. So now we serve not under obedience to the old code of written regulations, but under obedience to the promptings of the Spirit in newness of life. Come on, this is a much better deal. See, I mean, let's just get practical. I love examples. Let's just say that, I don't know, you're in a Bible study group, or you got a group of friends, you got a small group you go to in the middle of the week, and everybody's trying to read their Bible through every year, and it just don't work for you. You got so many chapters you got to read every day to keep up with the plan, and it's just not working for you. Well, you know what? Maybe that's not the way God wants you to do it. Maybe there's another. Well, but everybody else. Well, I wonder how many of them are doing it under obligation too, just because they think that they should do it because everybody else is doing it. And I'm not saying that it's not. I mean, it's a great thing to do. But I've never read the whole Bible through in 1 year. And I'm not trying to say because I haven't done it, it's not a good thing to do, but I'm trying to use this as an example that I tried and it didn't work for me. You know why? Because I'm like a subject studier. And so I can start, and then I'll get to something that interests me, and then all of a sudden one verse is not enough because I'm a teacher. I want to get in there and find out everything I can about that one thing, so before I know it, I'm in the concordance looking up every scripture I can find on anger or something else. And everybody just doesn't learn the same way. I'm just trying to tell you that the Holy Spirit wants to lead you. Come on, it gets exciting when you let him lead you. Amen. And that doesn't mean that we can all just go off on our own and do whatever we feel like doing. That's not what I'm saying. But when you're led by the promptings of the Holy Spirit, you plan and God laughs. And I'm all for having a plan. I have a plan every day. But you know what I can tell you? There's very few days that it ever works out exactly the way I planned it. And that's okay. I get done what I'm supposed to get done, and I'm very focused and I'm very disciplined, so it's not like I'm making a plan and then not, you know, just being irresponsible. I'm just saying that you got to give God room. If you want to love your life, you got to give God some room to interrupt you. Amen? How many of you want to be used by God? All right, if you really mean it, I can tell you that God will use you every single day if you'll listen to him. Every day, God will use you every day if you'll listen to him. And a lot of it will be in things that seem small and insignificant, but let me tell you something, what seems insignificant to you can be life-changing to somebody else. Absolutely life-changing to somebody else. I'll give you an example. I don't tell these things to make myself look good. It's just a parable, so I'll just share with you like I share out of my heart all the time. I was went to a coffee shop, get a coffee, and they had a new coffee press that they were selling. That she said, "I'll make you a French press." And I said, "Oh, I don't like it when the grounds get in my coffee." And I wanted to do a pour over, and she said, "Well, the grounds won't get in your coffee with this one. This is really cool. This is awesome." It's, you know, so she made me a cup of coffee, and it was really a good cup of coffee, some kind of double filter so the grounds don't get through. And so in the process, she said, I really want to get one of those, but she said, I can't afford it yet. Now, she would not have been the type of person that you would have probably thought I'd be hanging out with. Her hair was three different colors. And she had many piercings in many places and many tattoos in many places. But she was just as sweet as she could be. See, we are so weird. We get so caught up in looking at the outside. So anyway, I don't want to share too much of that because I've got it in another series that I put together. But the point is, see, I've kind of learned if I'm going to dedicate everything to God, then my money belongs to Him too. And it's fine to have your little tithing money stuck over here, but what if God asked you for some that you didn't have in your tithing pocket? What if God asked you for something beyond what you planned to give? I felt like I was supposed to give the girl the money to buy this coffee pot. Now, you know, yes, sometimes you just feel really dumb when you do that kind of stuff. Because, I mean, who just walks up to somebody and hands them this coffee pot was $130 and says, here, I just want to bless you with this. So I took my coffee, walked outside, and you know, God was just aggravating me. How many of you know what I mean? So I've kind of learned, unless I want to be aggravated all day and then go home and know that I miss God and feel like a louse, you know, then I might as well just be willing to be embarrassed or whatever. I mean, you never know what people are going to say, you know. And so I went back and I called her over and I said, you know what? I said, you're just such a nice young lady. And I said, I just felt like God wanted me to bless you with the money to buy that coffee present. She goes, oh, no. I mean, she's like, you just thought I shot her. Oh, no. And I'm like, oh, no. I'm thinking, don't make a scene. Just take it. And so I said, no, really. I said, I just want to bless you. I said, I just want to bless you. God's blessed me, and I just want to bless you. She cried, and you know the whole thing that people do. Okay, so now listen. So, I mean, God is so cool. So later I went to the bathroom up in the top part of the store, and who's in there but the girl? Now, why would she end up in the same bathroom that I'm in at the same time that I'm in there? Because God was using my few bucks to speak something to this girl. So this is what she says to me. She says, okay, I want you to tell me why you are the kindest person in the whole world. Now, obviously, I'm not the kindest person in the whole world. I wish I was, but she had not experienced that kind of kindness. She just hadn't seen it. So here's what she says to me. I said, look, I'm a Christian. God's really blessed my life. And I just felt like He wanted me to bless you. He wants you to know that He loves you. And she said, my mother died of cancer when I was 7. And I've been mad at, she didn't even know how to refer to Him. So she said, my higher power. And she said, this really means a lot to me. Now that's the kind of stuff that can happen when you're led by the Holy Spirit. You think I wasn't happy the rest of the day? Woo! Now, see, God told Adam in Genesis, He said, I've given you dominion and authority, and I want you to subdue the earth. And this is what the Amplified Bible says, use all of its vast resources in the service of God and man. See, God doesn't want us to use our stuff just to bless ourselves and to live selfish, self-centered lives. Yes, He wants us to take care of ourselves and have nice things, but God says, I want you to use what you've got to bring people to me and to be a blessing to them. So here's the thing. And you know, something like that might happen to me again for 3, 4, 5 months or a year. I don't know. All I'm saying is if you really want to hang out with God, if you want to do life with God, if you want to be used by God, you don't need a pulpit to be used by God. You don't need a microphone to be used by God. And I would not even, I haven't told anybody that till I told you. You don't go around telling everybody what you do, and I'm only telling you because I want you to learn from it. Certainly not to brag on myself. But I'm just telling you that God may just tell you to tell a clerk the color she's got on looks good on her. And you know, people need to be encouraged. And we don't need to go to church on Sunday and get out in the world and be sour-faced, grouchy, crabby, rude, emotional, inconsistent. And then wonder what's wrong. God will prompt us to do or not to do, and we don't have to do or not to do. Most of those things are not going to keep us out of heaven, but they are going to mess with the quality of life that we have while we're here. And what I'm asking you tonight, all over this building and watching my TV, do you want to just go to heaven? Or do you want to enjoy the journey? Do you want to just go to heaven, or do you want to take a bunch of people with you? See, I don't know what'll happen to that little girl. God may send somebody else along. He may have to send somebody else along. He may have to send somebody else along. But something happened to her that day. I believe that obedience is rather progressive. I don't think that anybody just gets born again and the next morning they wake up and they're ready to fully, completely, 100% obey God in every area of their life. The Israelites, I love the way it says in the Bible, it says, they journeyed from place to place and they traveled in stages. And I think that that's the way we mature in God. Like if you look up the word metamorphosis, which means complete transformation, which is what the Bible says we have, that he changes us completely. That means our nature has changed. We become something entirely different than what we were. And if you relate it back to the few insects that have a metamorphosis, the dictionary says it happens in distinct stages. See, I believe that we change in stages. Something will happen in your life and it'll create a big change. You're born again. Big change. And then you just kind of stay there and stay there and stay there until you get kind of sick of it. And then you're like, God, you got to do something. And when you get desperate enough that you don't care what he does, then maybe you get filled with the Holy Ghost. And, you know, for me, a huge stage of growth in my life, huge, it was huge for me, was learning to seek God for who he was, not for just what he could do for me. Oh my gosh, that was so life-changing for me, because until then, I just went to God with everything I needed. And he wanted me to change and start asking him what he needed. Instead of giving him my list of everything he had to do to keep a smile on my face for one more day. Come on, are you with me? Yeah. Oh God, if you don't do this, I don't think I can do this anymore, God. I'm just gonna quit and give up if you don't do this. Don't threaten God, it's useless. Totally pointless to threaten God. And besides that, you ain't going to give up because you're in too far now. But wow, how life changed. So that was another stage for me. And I think it's very possible that for some of you watching this, or for many of you who are here tonight, maybe this is going to be one of those turning point stages for you in your life where you're like, wow, wow. Oh, so maybe after you've heard what I said, we should go back and ask our question again. How many of you are ready to open up your whole entire life? Okay, now I'm just going to tell you, when you open up the whole deal to him, he's going to mess in some stuff that you'd rather he not mess in. Just saying. Don't say I didn't warn you. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. For his divine power has bestowed upon us all things that are requisite and suited to life and godliness. Not a breathing life, the God kind of life. Through the full personal knowledge of him who called us by and to his own glory and excellence. That one verse could make a four-part series. God has called us to be excellent, not mediocre. Excellent. Boy, we're missing that in the world today. Boy, are we missing that in the world today. Excellent people say what they're going to do and do what they said. Excellent people go the extra mile. Excellent people don't leave messes for other people to clean up. But that's not my message tonight. And he said, it comes through the full personal knowledge of him. You can't have the kind of life that God wants you to have on your grandma's faith, or on mama's faith, or on the God your pastor knows. You need to know him. And this is eternal life, that we would know God. And the Apostle Paul said, my determined purpose is to know him and the power of his resurrection. You don't get the power of his resurrection if you don't know him. And knowing him requires what? Time. You can be as close to God as you want to be. It just depends on how much time you want to put into it. Well, I wish I had the relationship with God that Sister Brown has. Well, sweetie, she didn't get it wishing. And you won't either. All right, I'm going to behave. Verse 4. By means of these, he's talking about his promises. By means of these, he has bestowed upon us his precious and exceedingly great promises, so that through them you might escape by flight from the moral decay, the rottenness and the corruption that's in the world because of covetousness, lust, greed, and become a sharer or a partaker of the divine nature. Now, because he's done everything else, we're fully loaded. We got it. We got it. So verse 5 says, basically, because of everything else I've told you, now here's what I want you to do. For this reason, add your diligence to the promises. Employ every effort in exercising your faith to develop virtue, excellence, resolution, Christian energy, and in exercising virtue, you will develop knowledge and intelligence, and in exercising knowledge, you will develop self-control. And in exercising self-control, you will develop steadfastness, patience, endurance. And in exercising steadfastness, you will develop godliness and piety. And in exercising godliness, is anybody tired yet? We've done a lot of exercising here just in the last few minutes. Come on, are you getting this? And in exercising godliness, we will develop brotherly affection. And in exercising brotherly affection, we will develop Christian love. Now, the good news is you don't have to do it in your own strength. And see, I want to be very careful because of our nature, the way we are, and because of the lies of Satan, there's a part of us that actually kind of likes a to-do list. Okay, Joyce gave me 7 more things now that I need to do in order to be right with God. No, you're already right with God. You've already got it. You're not trying to get it. You've got it. Say, not, I'm trying to get it, I've got it. And now all you're doing is responding to what you've already got because you want to share what you've got with the people who don't got it. I know that's not proper English, I did it on purpose. I want you to go home and follow the Holy Spirit. You have a divine helper. You have the Holy Spirit in your life to guide you into all the truth. He's the comforter, the counselor, the helper, the advocate, the intercessor, the strengthener, the standby. Will you open your whole life to God and let Him get involved in how you take care of your body? What you think about? Your attitudes toward people? And you know what? When the increase of the government of your life is turned over to Him, then your peace also increases in equal measure, and your power. Okay, now, Father, we thank You for the word You gave us tonight, and I pray that it bears good fruit, good fruit in every person's life. And Lord, we pray that if there's anybody here tonight that's never received You as their Savior, that tonight they would surrender. We're talking about surrendering different areas of our life, but there are people here who need to just surrender their life. They need to be born again. They need to receive You as their Lord and Savior. So I pray even now that conviction would come on people that are not right with You. And this would be their moment to be born again. This would be their moment to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. Our spiritual health is determined by how much time we spend with God, our level of obedience to His Word, and how well we follow the promptings of the Holy Spirit. And today we want to offer you more good word about healthy living, spirit, soul, and body. 4 CDs, plus we're also offering you a book called Good Health, Good Life. You need to be as healthy as you can be in every area of your life, and this is your chance to come up higher in any area that you need to. God bless you. Have a great day.
God cares about every aspect of our lives, not just our spiritual health. Learn to cooperate with God to make healthy choices, get to the root of emotional pain, and take control of your thoughts with Joyce's 4 CD series, Healthy Living, Spirit, Soul, and Body, and the book, Good Health, Good Life, focusing on physical and spiritual wellness. These resources are available for your gift of $30 or more. To order, call us toll-free at 1-800-727-9673 or visit us at joycemeyer.org. Some mornings, everything just goes right. Others, not so much. But let's face it, how you wake up each morning has a tremendous impact on your day. That's why Joyce wants you to wake up to the Word. 365 devotionals featuring one word, a Bible verse, and a scripture-based encouragement that will strengthen your walk with God one day at a time. Wake Up to the Word, a new devotional by Joyce Meyer. Pick it up today.
The proceeding was paid for by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.